Let's be real. There's a lot of noise surrounding what's going on overseas and what is exactly the economic and financial impact on us here in America and specifically here in Connecticut. We had the opportunity for the first time to have a new financial expert on our show, Keith Reed. We got to know his background in getting into economic and financial news across many different platforms and his take on what's happening involving Iran and America and the direct impact on your wallet.
I started my career as a business journalist. I covered business and the economy across multiple industries, including housing, airlines, hospitality, and the economy itself, banking, and et cetera, for about a decade. And then after that, I started to specialize focusing on the business of sports. So I covered the front offices of teams. I've covered the various ways that the sports economy relates to the broader economy, and some of the things that you can tell by looking at how teams behave and how leagues behave and how fans behave and what that tells us about what's happening in the broader economic world. And one of the other things that I've done in my career is that I took took sort of a little bit of a sidestep, because we all know that what's happening in the media business. About a decade ago, became licensed as I got real estate licenses in two states, in Georgia, where I am currently, and in Pennsylvania. So through a combination of those things, I have these broad insights of what's happening in the economy, whether you're looking at it from the perspective of again, what's happening in the sports economy, what's happening in housing, or what's happening in the broader economy with things like interest rates and different trends in banking and regulation. And so that's how I ended up here. Ed gave me a call a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, we're doing something new up here in Connecticut. Would you like to come on? And I said, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad you took the call, because there's a lot. I mean, so we were going to talk about obviously what's happening on a global standpoint and then bringing it back to Connecticut or the U.S. Based on the war in Iran. But I mean, you bring up even sports. I mean, we've got the World Cup going on right now. Real estate. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Those are all very relevant. So I don't know which one we tackle today. I guess we stick with what's happening in Iran and the direct impact here. But yeah, I feel like we have a lot to dive into. But let's go to, you know, what is happening obviously on a global scale and the impact, you know, coming back to the U.S. With what's happening in Iran. And it was actually highlighted recently in the New York Times. Talk to us a little bit.
That's right. So what the Times wrote about, and what I'm looking at just right in front of me here, is that the World Economic Update. So the International Monetary Fund puts out a World Economic Update. It updates this about four times a year, sometimes a little bit more frequently. But what they do is they talk about broad economic trends in the world, and they kind of predict a little bit what might happen globally and in specific markets. And the most interesting thing that happened in the recent one that was released early July last week is that the World Economic Outlook said that it predicted slower than normal growth and kind of a mixed bag for the global economy, really tied to the biggest risk out there, which is what's happening with the war in Iran. And so you've got, and we've all been hearing this for months now, you've got the situation where a good chunk of the world's energy supply is being controlled by Iran's actions in the Strait of Hormuz. Before this war started, and let me take a step back and say, this is not a political conversation, because I'm going to talk a little bit about what's happening politically, but this is not a right-left conversation. This is not about whether you like Trump or hate Trump or what you think about Israel and Bibi Netanyahu. This is just an economic conversation where those things have to be discussed.
Yeah, so, and I appreciate that for the record.
if you go back to February, there was no war in Iran. The Strait of Hormuz was open. Ships passed easily. They weren't being charged a toll. They weren't being attacked. The Strait of Hormuz hadn't been mined. And today, all of that's different. There are mines in the Strait of Hormuz. Ships are being attacked. There is a war. There is this kind of back and forth that's happening between the United States and Israel and the government in Iran over whether or not the Strait is open. And we've heard that it's open, and we've heard that it's closed. And what that's done is that's created, just from the from the perspective of the physical passage of oil, which is necessary for energy supplies around the world, has lessened the supply and the flow of oil. The United States is actually a little bit insulated from that because we produce enough energy or we produce enough here to satisfy most of the oil needs in the United States. But a lot of what we produce is also exported, right? And so since the exports that are coming from the Middle East, many of them transit the Strait of Hormuz on their way to Asia and other markets, that puts pressure on exports of oil from around the rest of the world, which sends prices higher. And we've all seen that in what you pay at the pump.
Yeah, no
Most
kidding.
People in the United States are paying more for gas to fill up their cars today than they were earlier this year. So that's one impact of it. The second impact of it is just the instability of it all. How many times have we heard in the last month that there is a truce, that there is a ceasefire, that the Strait of Hormuz is open, then the Strait of Hormuz is closed?
And right,
no,
it's constant.
It's constant. And if there's one thing that investors and markets don't like, including the commodities markets where barrels of oil are traded, it's instability. This is the definition of economic instability. When you have the leader of the largest economy on earth and the leaders of a country that can essentially turn off the spigot in terms of about a fifth of the world's oil supply, not able to agree from day to day whether or not they're bombing each other or if they're going to allow free passage of oil, that is economic instability, and that is going to impact everything that happens in the global economy, from interest rates, how much people pay to borrow, consumer sentiment, et cetera, et cetera.
So when you say, Keith Reed, that we're going to see slower than normal growth, you know, what exactly does that mean for the average Connecticut resident when we're tracking this and trying to understand when we could, for example, see a faster than normal growth? And is that even logical for this calendar year, for example?
So that's where it gets a little bit complicated, and I'll try to make it as simple as I can. So in the United, so globally, what the IMF said is that they expect about 3% growth for 2026, which is about 5 points lower than GDP growth was in 2025. Mm-hmm. So there's a slowdown, and it's not a huge slowdown, but there is a slowdown, right?
Yeah, it's enough that it's significant.
Globally.
Sure,
it's enough that it's significant. In the United States, they've actually predicted a roughly flat growth, so 2.3% in 2025 versus 2.2% here. But here's the caveat, that much of what is keeping growth flat in the United States, or their prediction for growth in the United States flat, is investment in artificial intelligence.
Sure.
So what do we
Not
know
shocking.
about artificial intelligence? Is that anecdotally, you know, economists disagree broadly about whether or not artificial intelligence is actually really helping anybody in the real economy. So in other words, there's a lot of debate about whether or not there's, you know, employment when they build a data center. So that's a big debate. Like, there's a lot of investment in things like data centers and new models for AI. All of the billions and billions of dollars going into AI are the thing that appears that in the IMF's perspective, keeping the United States from falling and seeing its growth decline for the remainder of the year. If you were to strip that out, you could then assume that the United States would see negative growth this year, as opposed, just like the rest of the world, right? So when you see negative growth, again, you start to talk about things like interest rates. So this is where it gets real for your audience, for people in Connecticut. Gas prices are high. Interest rates are up. We just saw that our central bank here in the United States chose to bump interest rates up a little bit, as opposed to bringing interest rates down. Right. President Trump has been pushing the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates, but that's not happening. He wants to see borrowing costs get lower, but that's not happening because the Federal Reserve is more worried about other trends in the economy. They don't want to see inflation. They're trying to bring inflation down. Inflation is not coming down, largely because of what? Because fuel prices and the inputs that go into the products that you buy, mm-hmm. you know, it's fuel, it's fertilizer for food. All the cost of all of those things are up because of what's happening in the Strait of Hormuz. So to make all of this real, what does it mean for you in Connecticut? Well, if you're going shopping, if you're going to buy your groceries, you can continue to probably expect higher prices. Those prices are not going to fall. Remember the election campaign in 2024, and it was all about the cost of eggs and what you're paying at the supermarket, and prices are going to come down if you vote this way or that way. That's probably not happening before the end of this year. The cost of gasoline is going to continue to be a political football, and you're going to continue to see that instability, which means you're not likely to see a really significant decrease in the cost of gas until we get through whatever this is, whether you call it a war, an operation, a truce, a ceasefire, until there is some certainty in the markets about what the oil supply and the fertilizer supply and the input, the supply of inputs into all of the products that we need and the things that we eat, until we have some certainty about that, we're not going to see probably a significant decrease in those costs. So while we have this uncertainty and the economy technically, GDP growth is technically projected to be flat, we all know that as consumers, when you're uncertain about your job, when you're uncertain about whether you're going to get a raise or get a bonus, when you're uncertain about prices rising as opposed to falling, as we move into the third and fourth quarter of the year, people are probably not going to be all that enthusiastic about spending money for Christmas, might not be all that enthusiastic about taking a vacation or a trip. Like, those kinds of spending starts to get curtailed around the dinner table when you're having these economic conversations with your family if right. you're worried about what's going to happen.
Right. Well, and it also leads to even that divide, I would think, between employers and employees, you know, that push for I need a raise or I need more financial stability. And can employers even provide that, you know, and you can't just do it for one or two, but if you're a company of more than 100, how do you justify that? So that'll certainly be interesting as well to kind of track when you start to talk about people's, you know, lifestyle changes. If that does impact, like you said, later on this year, it'll be interesting to see how 2027 shapes up with those conversations, you know, in people's careers as well. Keith Reed, I want to thank you. Unfortunately, we have run out of time for today, but I would certainly love to have you back on. And as you mentioned, talking about a variety of different topics, all coming back to financial and economic reporting. I really appreciate that we got connected, and I look forward to having you back on the show really soon. Thank you so much.